Let's pray as we stand. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your great love towards us, and we pray that you would write the realities of your love on our hearts afresh as we consider these great truths this morning. And we ask for Jesus' sake. Amen. Do sit down. Well, back in 1999, weeks of deliberation took place over which song should have the honour of being played at the Millennium Dome New Year's Eve celebrations. The song picked was to be seen as the anthem to herald the new millennium in Britain. Now I wonder which song you would have picked. Well, the winning song was the Beatles classic, All You Need Is Love, originally written in 1967. The judging panel was led by Mark Fisher, the Dome's creative director, and he said, in the end, All You Need Is Love was the only song to pick. It expresses the sentiment we all share for the future of our planet, our children, and ourselves. Well, much is certainly sung about love, but also, I guess, if we're honest, much is sentimental, and as the Americans say, is schmaltz. But the desire for love, to be valued, to be cared for, and to be accepted, is universal. So John Lennon from the Beatles was right, all we need is love. But the Bible shows us that the perfect love, the love that we truly need, is found in God, God who has made us. Indeed, we are made for love, to know the love of God and to relate to him, the true source of perfect love, and share that love with him and with others. But how can we know that God loves us? And can we be sure that his love is secure? Well, in our Bible reading from Romans chapter 8, the Apostle Paul considers these very questions. He's been explaining the good news of Jesus. He's had to begin with the bad news, and he explains that in chapters 1 to 3. There is no one who does what is good, no, not one, says the Old Testament, and Paul says that is quite right. We have all sinned and fallen short of God's glory. Now, seeing that bad news helps us to see why the gospel of Jesus is such good news. For those who turn back to God through Jesus and rely on what he has done in his death and resurrection, find that they are, chapter 3, verse 24, justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Through his undeserved love for those who deserve nothing, having turned away from him, God puts people right with himself through the rescue won by Jesus on the cross. And yet, those who first heard these words were under great pressure. Challenge and difficulty can so easily lead to spiritual insecurity and uncertainty. And we too can find ourselves in such a place. And so, like them, we need reassurance. It may be that all you need is love, but we need to be secure in knowing God's love. Well, as we read through that section of Romans 8, we're reminded that in human experience, there are many things that can seem like blockages to the love of God. In Romans chapter 8, which if you want to have it in front of you, is on page 1138, the apostle considers some of these blockages. One of them is trials. There is a real threat, verse 35, from tribulation or distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, danger, sword. All sorts of challenges can face us as Christian believers. And many believers today, like these Roman Christians, face full-on persecution for belonging to Jesus. Some of us may have heard what has happened to the director of the Community Advance Programme in Pakistan, whom we support here at All Saints. He faced serious death threats, which meant that in the end he's had to leave the country. Now, thankfully, someone else has taken over that work in Lahore. But for him and his family, this has been a very difficult time. But, of course, there can be more subtle opposition at work or in the community. Standing up for Jesus in the public sphere can be very hard. But we might face other challenges too, trials and difficulties which can make us feel alone, which can make us feel as if God's love is in some way blocked. So there are trials. There's also the future. There is the threat of what Paul calls, verse 38, things to come. It seems that considering the future can make us wonder if God really loves us or if he will continue to do so. We can worry about health issues. We're even told that serious pandemics are on the horizon, or that antibiotics may become useless as superbugs develop resistance. The economic crisis could deepen. And more personally, we can worry about loneliness, bereavement, illness, unemployment, and so on. Will such things block the love of God towards us? Well, there are also evil powers. Verse 28, Paul speaks of the threat of rulers, powers, height, and depth. Having just spoken of angels, he seems to be talking about spiritual beings here in verse 38. Those beings associated with God's spiritual enemy, the devil. For like Jesus, the New Testament writers knew that there was a real spiritual battle that God's people are engaged in. There's an unseen world of spiritual reality, and many of the influences in this godless world are opposed to God. They were created by God in the first place, but have turned away from him. And there can be times in our lives when it feels like our enemy is closing in and attacking us. Of course, this period of Lent reminds us of Jesus' temptation in the desert at the hands of the devil. And that's a reminder that we shall face spiritual opposition too, as a church and as Christians. Now, sometimes this is overt. We occasionally encounter full-on occult opposition. But it's usually more subtle. The temptations that come to us, the accusations that we face, the discouragement that we encounter. There is a spiritual enemy who has agents who are against us, and these things can seem to block God's love. But Paul also speaks of death. Verse 38. You see, the fear of death and death itself, our own or a loved one, can seem like a huge block to the love of God. And not only is there the difficulty of grief, but also, if we have a right view of God, we know that he is pure and holy in his love, and we are far from those things. Will we be able to stand before God after we have died? Well, then all these things, trials, the future, evil powers and death, are possible blockages to receiving and to knowing the love of God in our lives. But what we read in Romans 8 is that what God has done in his Son means that in fact none of these things can separate us from the love of God when we are in Christ Jesus. For I am sure, verse 38, that neither death nor life nor angels nor rulers nor things present nor things to come nor powers nor height nor depth nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. But how is that the case? Well, let's focus just in the time we have remaining on two truths that Paul makes clear here. The first is that God has given his Son for us. God has given his Son for us. So you see, in order to do for us what we most needed, in order to make it possible for us to know the love of God, God has sent his Son to die for our sins. Verse 31, what then shall we say to these things? That is the amazing way that God has us securely in his hands from before time began to eternity future. What shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? God loved us so much that he gave his Son for us, even when we were against him. And that is the way that he has put right our relationship with him. God has done all that is needed to rescue us, even at great cost to himself, as of course is our focus as we share bread and wine in communion this morning. And that gives us great confidence that he will, in his love, keep reaching out to us, even if we do face trials of various kinds. God not sparing his son, but sending him to die, is also the way that evil could be defeated. So as Paul says elsewhere in Colossians 2:15, having disarmed the powers and authorities, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them by the cross. So you see, evil powers cannot separate us from the love of God. So God does not just sing to us, as it were, a smolchy love song. He has proved his love by sending his son, and that love is secure. But we also see that God's son continues to present his people to God the Father. The possible blocks to God's love in our lives can make us anxious about whether God does really accept us and what we shall find when we meet him after we die. But through what God has done in Jesus, and through the ongoing reality of Jesus in the Father's presence, we can have great, humble confidence. Verse 33, who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died, more than that, who was raised. And he is at the right hand of God. Indeed, he is interceding for us. Jesus, God the eternal Son, become human, died for our sins on the cross. He was raised from the dead to prove that God has accepted what he did. And now, after his return to heaven, Jesus is at God the Father's right hand, and he presents us to God. Jesus intercedes for us. He is our advocate. He is always there, able to go on making sure that what he has done for us in his death on the cross is effective for us. And that means that we do not need to fear the future. Yes, we are weak. Yes, we will continue to fail God and let him down. But Jesus is our friend in heaven, presenting us to God the Father as his forgiven, beloved children. Jesus' death for us remains effective into the future. The future cannot separate us from the love of God. And we don't need to fear death. For on the day that we face God, what Jesus has done for us in his death and resurrection will bring us into God's presence to enjoy friendship with him forever. Having finished his task through his death, Jesus is now sat down at God's right hand, and he continues to secure for his people all the benefits that his death on the cross has made possible. Forgiveness, acceptance, the experience of God's love forever. So death cannot separate us from the love of God. All you need is love, as the old song goes. Well, yes, but supremely what we need is God's love. And there are things in this life that seem to block receiving God's love, like trials and the future and evil powers and death. But God has proved his love by sending his son for us. And God will be sure to provide his love for us, whatever else we need along the way to our full rescue through him. And Jesus, who died and rose again, is now in heaven, continually presenting his people to our loving Heavenly Father. Do you remember the conclusion to the reading? Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness, or danger, or sword? No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present nor things to come, nor powers nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So whatever we may go through, whatever we may feel, God's love is secure. Let's pray. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank you that you know our lives completely, and you know what we feel most threatened by, those things that seem to us to be blocks to your love. We thank you for these great truths, that in your Son there is nothing that can separate us from your love. And we pray that by your Spirit these realities would become more and more clear in our thoughts and in our hearts. We thank you that you did not even spare your own Son but gave him up for us. And we thank you that he is, having died and risen, now with you, presenting us to you in your presence. Strengthen us in these things, we pray, for Jesus' sake. Amen.